lines are open, 854-1548. If you are calling from abroad, it's +2711-854-1548. The mobile number for tonight is 0823565988. That's our mobile number. If you have any other questions that you would like to ask, or alternatively, email us on air@radioislam.co.za. We have Mufti Saab online right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping, Mufti Saab?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
JazakAllah for joining us. Okay, we have a lot of questions coming in already, alhamdulillah. SMS is coming in. The first question that we have for tonight, it says, if a Quran is on a shelf opposite a bed and during the night one's back accidentally faces the Quran, is this wrong or is it disrespect to the Quran?
First of all, that we should try to keep Quran al-Kareem in concealed cupboards, drawers, then that would be permissible. Yeah, if it mistakenly, and if the Quran al-Kareem is mistakenly behind you, then although you are not going to be a sinner, it is better not to do so, but to intentionally face your back to the Quran al-Kareem, that is grossly unbecoming of a good Muslim to do such an action.
JazakAllah khair, Mufti Saab. We have a sister from Malaysia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. I'd like to ask Mufti Saab, can you give open parcels as a gift?
Open parcels?
Si.
Okay, is that
all? For engagement, etc.
Okay, JazakAllah for the sister. Assalamu alaikum. Mufti Saab, open parcels as in for an engagement as a gift.
Why they call it open parcels?
Not sure. Maybe it's not wrapped or something.
To exchange gifts between Muslims, that has been encouraged in the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Exchange gifts, it will increase love. That's the meaning of the hadith. So, with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to creating love bond between family members, it is permissible to do so. Between Muslim brothers and sisters, it is permissible to do so. But on occasions such as nikah, etc., to have a pre-notion and a pre-condition and a connived planning scheme that we have to give gifts and take gifts, that is not in accordance with Sharia. But on these joyous occasions, to exchange gifts mutually without any preconditions and numbers attached is permissible. Also, do not have this concept that if I have to give a gift, I must in turn receive one. So on the receiving side, if someone, for example, comes to visit and does not bring a gift, you should not feel hurt about it. Similarly, when you go to visit someone, for example, if there is a birthday or there is a happy occasion there and you're going to visit, then it is not a precondition that you have to take a gift when visiting, on visiting. During visiting, to give gift is not a precondition to make valid that visitation. If you do it without any implications, then it is permissible.
JazakAllah khair, Mufti Saab. We have another sister from Roshni. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam walana.
Ji.
I have a query. I'm working at CPI at the moment, and now we're having a memorial ceremony tomorrow.
Sister, can you just speak a bit louder? We can't hear your question quite clearly.
One of the members in our school where I'm serving in a public school, the teacher has died. And are we allowed to go for the memorial ceremony or what's the ruling?
Okay. Mufti Saab, did you get that? JazakAllah, sister. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, Mufti Saab, public, she teaches in a public school. Somebody has died. Can she attend?
I presume she's talking about someone who is not a Muslim.
Yeah.
They should not attend the rites, the funeral, the ceremony, the prayer sessions of that person. Yes, the family members can be telephoned, contacted, and condolences can be passed on. But to attend physically those functions and to participate in the prayers, they should not do so.
JazakAllah for that. Let's take the next question. We have SMS question saying, can a woman perform salah while the adhan is being called out?
Let alone the woman, the man can also perform salah while the adhan is being called out. And this is very clear that Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should perform the sunnats of Fajr while Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu should be giving the adhan, and the words of the adhan should resound in the ears of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whilst beyond this, that generally because of our upbringing, especially we notice this on Fridays, Jummah, that we will wait for the adhan to be called and then perform the four sunnat mu'akkida. Whereas in some masjids, the adhan is given immediately after zawal. In those masjids, whilst the adhan is being given and you are in the masjid, you can perform the four rakats of sunnat mu'akkida. And in some masjids, the adhan of Jummah is given much later than zawal itself. So before the adhan even, you can perform the four rakats of sunnat mu'akkida. I do not know why, for some reason or the other, wait. Although we can perform the four rakats of sunnat mu'akkida before the adhan of Jummah, when the time of Jummah has set in, but we wait for the adhan to be given, completed, then we perform our four rakats of sunnat mu'akkida. We should educate and act accordingly.
JazakAllah for the Mufassar. We have a brother from Malaysia, brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. I want to ask Mufti Sahab, if I read my Jummah namaz in a masjid where they read khutbah in Adana language, is my Jummah accepted? JazakAllah khair.
JazakAllah, salam alaikum. Mufti Sahab, if he reads his salah in a masjid where khutbah is given in a different language, is salah accepted?
See, as far as acceptance or not acceptance of any salah, whether it be Jummah, Eid or Hajj, any ibadat, we do not know whether it is accepted. The question should be whether it is valid. Yes, your salah of Jummah will be valid, but makruh. If there is another masjid nearby, go away to the other masjid. If you got a suitable, comfortable, easy, accessible alternative, go to the other masjid. The two khutbah of Jummah should be in the Arabic language, because those two khutbahs are not like lectures. There are over 20 differences between a normal lecture than the two khutbah. That is why we are saying give it in Arabic. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in traveled far and wide away from Makkah, Medina. They went and conquered so many areas. They did not recite, although they knew the vernacular language of the areas they conquered, they did not recite the khutbahs in the vernacular, but kept it to Arabic. If the person says, no, we have to address the congregation, you may do so prior to the two khutbahs of Jummah. Clear hadith, Hazrat Tamimi Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, should narrate a hadith prior to the two Jummah khutbahs. So when there is permissibility of a lecture prior to the two Jummah khutbahs, why don't we exercise that leeway? and keep the two Friday khutbas in Arabic. Literature is available. An article has been written by Mufti Taqi Osmani, Damat Barakatuhum, and also Majlisul Ulama of Port Elizabeth. Source them and read them for the academic discourses therein.
JazakumAllah for the Mufti Sahib. Just to remind listeners, lines are open 854-1548. Our mobile number is 082-356-5988. Taking the next question, it says the ringtone on the cell phone is music. Can we change it to a Islamic tone or dhikr tone?
When we talk of Islamic tone, I do not know what it means. A dhikr tone, also I do not know. Remember that we should be extremely careful. And clearly we should not make our ringtones having Quranic ayat, because most of the time we are careless, neglectful, forgetful, and we take our cell phones in the toilet also. So we should not have the cell phone going off and the Quranic ayat being played. So be careful when you choose your ringtone. It should not be such that if you are in the toilet or in some other place and then it rings, then it is disrespectful and against the dignity of a person to listen to such words when a person is engaged in some action which is essential, but not good action.
JazakumAllah for the Mufti Sahib. Let's take the next question. It says, would it be a better option to adopt rather than bear own offspring, as there are many abandoned children?
It is better to bear one's own offspring.
Is it necessary to have our daily washing clothes rinsed 3 times separately for them to be packed?
This is, I think, a very short question. It requires details. That obviously to make our clothing clean, pack, then it has to go through the normal proceeding, whether it is 3, 5, 7 times of rinsing, etc., to satisfy the person washing and to the person receiving that my clothing have been washed to the level of purity which satisfies me mentally that my clothing are now clean.
JazakumAllah for that. If a beggar comes to your door asking for money or something, is it permitted to make up a story just to so that he can go away?
To send a beggar away empty-handed without a shari valid reason is definitely not good. However, if you know clearly and know for certainty that this beggar is going to utilize the money, for example, to buy drugs, alcohol, or abuse it in any other way, unfortunately, some of them are involved in some heinous crimes. In that case, you may be forthright and discourage that beggar. Also, if you are going to make a beggar habitual in that activity, because the hadith is clear, once a person stretches out the hand, that hand remains stretched. And the economical concept of Islam discourages us to become a nation of beggars. We should become hard workers earning our money. So in principle, Islamic economical policy is to discourage begging. We should not be encouraging it. However, if a person is definitely in need, in dire straits, and is incapacitated, then fulfill his rights. Do not be ungrateful to Allah Jalla Majdahu and say things like, I do not have when you have. I am short at the moment, whereas you have got plentiful. So do not make any statements of ingratitude when you are affluent and when you are wealthy and capable of fulfilling the need of the beggar. Do not chase the beggar away without a shari, valid, proper reason.
JazakumAllah for that, Muftisab. Is it permissible to get a non-Muslim to rent your outbuilding knowing that they have their idols, the frames?
It is permissible to do so.
JazakumAllah for that, Muftisab. Going on to, we have a lot of questions coming in here on the issue of insurance. Is car insurance permissible?
In our country, South Africa, permissible.
Okay, JazakumAllah for that. Is it true that there is no barakah in giving money at night?
No such thing. So many incidents have been recorded in Hayatul Sahaba and in the Tafasirs of Quran Kareem that Sahaba Ikram were most generous, and because of their generosity during the darkness of the night, ayat were revealed upon Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praising their hospitality, generosity and cordiality. So this concept or belief that it is not proper to be generous at night is definitely not an Islamic one. And feeding the guest in the night, these stories are famous in the lives of the Sahaba, how they took their guest and what food they supposed to be eating, they gave it to their guest and put off their lights, dim their lights, so that the guest could not even make out that they were not partaking of the food. So there are many stories like that, that the Sahaba were congratulated by Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for their night activities of generosity.
JazakumAllah for that, Mufassal. Let's see the next question. It says, my feet are very sore. When I made salah, I go into sajda and I put my hands down on the musalla before my knees. Is my salah valid or do I have to read qada now that my feet are better?
Allah Ta'ala grant you shifa kamila, ajila, mustamirra. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala remove all the pains from all those who are suffering. Your salat is valid. You did those actions due to physical temporary incapacitation. You do not have to repeat them now because alhamdulillah you are now cured from the pain. There is no qaza for you.
JazakumAllah for the Mufisab. Lines are open 85415480823565988. That's our mobile number. If someone who earns haram money gives you a gift, can you give it to a non-Muslim or do you throw it away? By haram, the person means gambling or interest.
Once you know a person is giving you gift, you should have good opinion of a Muslim. This is a general rule that Muslims should have good opinion about other Muslims. So when a Muslim gives you a gift, we on the receiving end should look into the earnings of that person in the broader picture, meaning that does this person, besides his evil activity of gambling, etc., does he have any other source of income? If he has any other source of income, then we will say that that gift is coming from that halal source of income. And let the matter rest there. Some ulama go a little further. They say, they try to estimate estimate that this person who is giving you the gift, his earning, haram on one side, halal on one side, if his halal earnings are more than his haram earnings, then accept that gift. If his haram earnings are more than his halal earnings, then discard that gift as how you want to. You can give it away to another person. It is permissible to do so. However, these days, it is very, very difficult to estimate the halal earnings and haram income of a person who indulges in these dubious activities. So accept the gift when he has got some halal earnings.
Jazakumullah for the Mufti Sahab. We have a call online, Brother Abdul from Indonesia. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam to Mufti and to Mulana. I've got a question here to do with zakat. To ask Mufti, I received some, you know, I sold some shares which was given to me by my company. I used that money now to, you know, pay my house bond and my credit card. Do I have to pay zakat on that, or how it works?
Can I ask a few questions?
Ji.
Previously,
I can't hear, Mufti. It's very.
Okay, Monana, I will repeat you for you. Previously, were you paying zakat?
Previously, were you paying zakat?
Yes. I pay zakat when I got the Ramadan time. You know, I paid 2.5%.
And were you paying on the shares that you had?
No. The shares, you see, the company gave me, I could not sell it till they gave. So now they allowed me to sell the shares. So I sold the shares now back to the company. And they, all the money I had, then I invested into the, I put it all in the bond.
The shares, where is your property? Whether it was in your ownership, whether it was in your control. How, explain me some basics about the chairs that you had. Were you the owner, possessor of the chair?
No, you see, the company gave to certain staff, you know, the shares from the company, and they allocated certain amount of shares to each staff. Certain stuff. So that was about 3 years ago, and now
But you could not sell those shares.
No, I could not sell the shares till they give you know, the authority, because they were still they were the owners, or up till the time they allowed me to sell it.
Okay. Now once you have received the shares and you have now sold them. You have taken the money and you have used the money for your bond. You do not pay zakat because that money is no longer with you.
Oh, so then I don't have to pay any zakat.
No.
If I got leftovers, then
you'll add it to your amount in Ramadan.
Ji. Okay. So if I got any surplus left after paying all my debt Ramadan time, then I must
add it to it.
Pay the zakat.
Yes. Yeah.
Jazakallah.
Add it to your assets.
Gee. And what else? And can you use that money for Umrah or for Hajj?
Yes, definitely.
You can?
Yes.
Jazakallah, Mufti.
Jazakallah for that, brother. Okay, let's take any other callers. Okay, let's take the next question that we have. It says, Assalamu alaikum, is it permissible for the only daughter to sit at her late father's body if she is in a state of impurity? What is the rule?
We have the opinion that she can make ziyarat, look at his face from afar, and then sit away from his body.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. We have an international SMS saying, Assalamu Alaikum. Mufti Saab, please advise which any lotion which contains alcohol can I apply on my body then pray Salah with this? Is it permissible? And what about perfume which contains alcohol?
If there is a replacement for both these products which does not contain alcohol, then utilize the replacement. If, however, you have used these products and subsequently performed salah with it, your salah is valid, however makruh. You should try to abstain utilizing these products having chemical alcohol as preservatives. These alcohol contents in these products actually are not those types of alcohol that makes one drunk or intoxicated. They are there merely and surely for preservative purposes. Thus, the ulama make a discussion about alcohol application outside and its use and permissibility. However, cautious is when you have got an alternative product which does not have alcohol preservatives, then utilize the alternative product.
JazakAllah for the Mufti Saab. We have another caller from KwaZulu-Natal. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alhamdulillah, brother.
Okay, very well. I have approximately 3 to 4 questions for okay. respected Mufti Saab. My first question is, how many times did Jibreel alayhi salam come in human form to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That's the first question. The second question is, how does a believer respond to calamities and catastrophes in terms of Sharia? The third question, we hear the saying that spirits and angels come down in the morning. Who are the spirits? How could we identify that? What the spirits are? And my last question is, in our locality, sometimes I notice during the Zuhr Salah, after that, a second Jamaat is formed for Musallis who are late for Salah. Will it be permissible for locals who are late for the first Jamaat to make a second Jamaat? Or is that only permissible for Musafir?
Okay.
Assalamu
alaikum. Okay, Jim, let's take this question. Jibreel as-salam, how many times did he come in a human form?
Exactly the number. About how many times Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came in human form to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I do not think so it has been documented. If someone knows, should please contact me with its reference. However, point to note here is that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam generally should come in the human form of a Sahabi called Hazrat Ziya Qalbi radiallahu ta'ala. But we also got, for example, in the famous hadith which is called Hadith of Jibreel, and which comes in most of the Ahadith kitabs in the starting, there, although Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came in a human form, but definitely as a stranger who has come from a journey. But although coming from a journey, had his hair jet black and no effects of journey on him. But the exact number, I do not know. As far as the Muslims respond to calamities and difficulties, that remember, a Muslim, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله, the golden rule, principle stated in Quran al-Kareem, that a Muslim should never ever be despondent of the mercy and grace of Allah Jalla Majdahu. That is why a good Muslim never ever thinks of the idea or concept of suicide, and he is positive all the time. We are those people who are supposed to be positive in every circumstances and situations, because we have firm belief that Allah is watching us, aiding us, supporting us, seeing us, and Allah is the one who will listen to us, He's closer to us than our jugular veins, and he will help us in difficulties. So we should have a complete positive mental attitude towards calamities, difficulties. The scholars, for example, Mufti Ahmad Damat Rimtulale has written a book called Calamities and Their Causes. Mufti Abdul Rahim Lajpuri Rimtulale has also written on this. And Mufti Mahmood Gangohi has also written on this. And numerous of our elders have written concerning calamities. And basically, we should not be sad, we should not be depressed, we should not be despondent, and view everything as a trial, test, elevation of position and situation. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us a small difficulty and calamity so that a major catastrophe is averted and avoided. So Allah is all-wise. Have this constant belief in our heads that Allah is all-wise, and everything that happens, there's some wisdom behind it. And this wisdom, if you have got knowledge, you will understand it. And that is why Allah Jalla Majdahu repeatedly is saying that resort to salat and sabr and have firm faith in Allah. Allah loves those who have confidence in Him. Allah loves those who have reliance in Him. So we should regard this as elevation of status, test, trial, tribulation. And Allah may take away something and give something a better in return. As far as coming down of spirits and angels, then this could be the various forms of angels. For example, the word ruh is utilized in Surah Laylatul Qadr, and this ruh, some have translated as spirit, and then others have further translated it as Jibreel alayhi salam, and some others have given another commentary to it stating Jibreel alayhi salam would thousands and thousands of malaika, other malaika. So this could be that a synonym for angels, meaning spirit, in brackets angels, and again angels. The locality, he says, that the Zohr Salat, a second Jamaat, and now, for example, as a rule, we should not be encouraging second Jamaats. According to the Hanafi school of thought, the second Jamaat in the boundaries, within the boundaries of the masjid, is definitely makruh. Outside the boundaries, due to need and necessity, it is permissible. But this need and necessity must not cause any discord or disunity. People sometimes, unfortunately, purposefully, voluntarily, willfully perform the second Jamaat because they do not want to follow the Imam of the Masjid. This, the trustees of the Masjid should assess the situation. Is this second Jamaat out of need and necessity, or is it going to cause division and discord? And they should act accordingly. If there is a second Jamaat in process, then the locality living members, they can participate without any detachment in the second Jamaat. However, one must note that the second Jamaat, because it is outside the boundaries of the masjid, the performers thereof will not be receiving the reward of Salat with Jamaat in masjid. They will get reward of Salat with Jamaat, but in masjid, they are not going to get that sawab.
JazakAllah for the Mufisa. We had a caller, he phoned in and asked a question. Son got a job in a casino. Is it possible for him to take it?
No, he should not take that job.
JazakAllah for that. Can a man give a zakat to his brother or sister?
Permissible to do so. Very simple to understand this law of zakat giving. It is very, very simple. during the month of Ramadan, we explain it. And if a person understands a very simple example, if he stands up and spreads out his arms, then whatever is above and below cannot receive zakat. Meaning, he has come from his father, grandfather, mother, grandmother, all those above cannot receive zakat from him. All those below, son, daughter, cannot receive zakat. Those that are aside, brother, sister, can receive zakat.
The next question. My mother loaned me a large sum of money. After a year, when I had the money to pay her back, she forgave me for the whole sum. Who has to pay the zakat for that year? My mother or me?
The mother loaned a person money.
Okay.
Now, that money was given as a loan. Loans are of three categories. One is Kawi. Second is Mutawassit, third is Daif. Kawi loan is that loan pertaining to money. And it is called Kawi strong because the person who has given the loan is quite sure, positive, that it's coming back. So the mother has to be questioned that when she gave this loan, did she give it away at the first instance, or when her son brought it back after a year, then she made the decision? If she had given that loan at the first instance, that means when she gave her son the loan, in her mind, she had given the money away as a gift already. She had it in her mind that I'm giving my son, although we are calling it a loan, but I have given him a gift. I do not intend receiving it when he comes back with the money. In that case, she will not pay zakat. But when her son now brought the money to her after 1 year, and then she made a decision that I am going to give it to my son as a gift, then she is liable, responsible for paying the zakat of that money.
Jazakumullah for that. Is it permitted for a lady to run the comrades?
Why they don't ask whether men must run this comrades? So forget the ladies. We are of the opinion that all this exercise of running half naked and running amongst half naked people and running and wasting time, energy, money, and running when the salat is being discarded and missed. So running in the state of sinning and transgression and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is open disobedience. Because the person prior to running these major events, they practice and they qualify, and then they run, and in the process transgress so many laws in their practice sessions. And how is it possible that they are running when there are people around them half naked running with them? These are activities which are futile, vain, and there can be no justification that Muslims should participate and waste their valuable energy. Very same people, if you have to ask them, go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they have got 201 excuses. But for this vain and futile activity, they have got time, money, energy, everything. Allah Jalla Majdahu grant us the ability to understand how we have been conned by the deception of shaitan and wasting our valuable time in these futile activities which have got no benefit. And many of them think they are doing this for exercise, but they are the very ones who have to go for knee surgery, ankle surgery, and some of them drop dead whilst running even.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. Let's take the next question. Is it true that if you are sick, your sins fall away?
Yes. There are many ahadiths which state this concept clearly, that sins and fever and ailments, diseases, epidemics, all this remove a person's sins. So that is why I was talking about a Muslim has to be positive, that when he is in pain or any ailment, then we should regard that also as a blessing from Allah Jalla Majdahu, that sins are being removed and the person is being cleaned, purged, purified. Many a time you will notice that pious, righteous personalities also, they undergo some difficulties and ailments and diseases prior to their passing away. And we should not look down upon this. Allah, in His mercy, is purifying them so much that whatever difficulty that that person has to experience is being done on the surface of the earth. And when compared to the punishment and the difficulties of the Akhirah, Jahannam, then this ailment, no matter how bad it may seem, it is very tiny and minute compared to the punishment of the Akhirah. So on one side you may be sympathetic and have pity when you see people, and especially pious, righteous personalities undergoing difficulties, but they are being cleaned, purged, status is being elevated in most of cases, so that their status in the Akhirah will be high.
JazakAllah, we have an anonymous brother from Soweto. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, hi Hazrat. I got a question here for Hazrat Mufti Saab, yeah?
Okay.
Is regarding that halal food. I just want Mufti Saab to clarify in explaining that what's halal food, and then how must it be prepared, and who must prepare this food. And for the sake that this time and age you got maids that are not Muslims, they don't care whether it's pak or napak or things like that. And then what kind of effect does this food that's been prepared by this kind of people have in our lives in it? So I'd just like Mufti Saab to at least clarify on this.
JazakAllah for that.
I'll listen on it, inshallah.
Okay, brother. JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum. Jee, Mufti Saab.
Allah Ta'ala reward the brother. He asked so many questions that if we have to take each one of them and start talking about them, then program is over. And this, you should note it down, Monana, and pass it on to the other presenters, that what the brother has posed should be discussed in detail by the other presenters who are full-time, so that the required information which the brother requires, which is necessary and essential, and we should educate everyone, ourselves first, about the pertinent issues that respectable brother has raised. Halal will be those things which Allah Jalla Majdahu has made halal for us. And as far as animals are concerned, they have to be slaughtered by taking the name of Allah Jalla Majdahu, and certain veins have to be cut so that the blood comes out. Fish is generally halal, vegetable that grows on the ground is halal, and the preparation should be made by Muslims using halal ingredients. If non-Muslims who are supervised directly by Muslims prepare the food, then it is permissible for Muslims to consume it. However, if non-Muslims are not supervised directly by Muslims in preparation of the food, then it is dubious and one should abstain from eating. because we do not know their condition and their reliability as far as purity and impurity is concerned.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. Any other callers? Okay, no other callers. We have in a family there is only daughters, and the father passes away, and there are no other male family. Can the daughter visit the qabr of her late father? Please explain.
Why she must take all that trouble? Allah Ta'ala has given us a very easy deen. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has made the deen even more easier for the females. Is that we do not want to take the time to understand that how easy Allah has made deen. Because of circumstances and batil education systems, we want to do those things, eventually placing ourselves into difficulty and harassment. Allah has made it very easy for the females that they do not have to go for salah in jama'ah. They do not have to perform Eid Salah in Jama'ah. They do not have to perform the Janazah in Jama'ah. They do not have to go for Janazah Salah. They do not have to go for Jihad. And they do not have to perform the Salah when they are in the state of Haiz and Nifas. And when they are in the state of Haiz and Nifas, the month of Ramadan comes, then they make only Qaza. So Allah has made this deen easy for them. So where they are sitting in the confines of their home, they can read Quran Kareem and make Isal Sawab for their beloved, their deceased, and give charity in their name, do good actions so that their sawab goes out to their beloved. So they do not have to physically take the trouble of going to the graveyard. And when we look academically at the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the final outcome will be prohibition for the females to go to visit graveyards. Grave of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the exception to the rule.
We have a question that says that a person's stepmother inherited from his father. Now the stepmother has passed away and he has stepbrothers and sisters. Does he still have to give his stepbrother and sisters their share?
Subject to correction, that he will do so. However, I think on Tuesday mornings, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Sattar, he comes and you can pose the question to him, contact your local Jamiat as far as his inheritance questions are concerned, so that you can have a proper, valid, authenticated reply in writing.
JazakAllah for that. Let's take the next question. What can we do or read when in dire stress and confusion?
If you're in stress, anxiety, depression, then it is stated in Fatawa Rahimia, if a person recites in quantity Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir, or just Hasbunallah repeatedly, inshallah Allah Jalla Majdahu will remove the depression and anxiety. And a person can also read La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Inshallah, if the person recites this in abundance, Allah will remove the anxiety, depression, difficulty, problems.
JazakAllah for that. Maulana, can you please advise what dua can I read for the acceptance of my duas?
Very simple. First of all, stay away from major sins. Secondly, hold very fast to the obligatory activities of Islam, ibadats of Islam, and also the wajibats. Make every effort to act upon the noble, blessed sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not harm anybody, and do not let anybody harm you. have your business transactions free from the fragrance or free from the odor, evil odor, bad odor of interest. Fulfill your pledges and promises and be hospitable and cordial to everybody. Regard yourself as low and everybody as high. Lift up your hands and see that Allah Jalla Majdahu will accept your du'as. Inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah for that, Muftisab. Let's take the next question. It says, what is the Islamic view on anti-aging products for skin?
Use it as long as the ingredients are permissible to utilize, use it.
Okay, Jazakumullah for that, Muftisab. Just remind us on the line, open 851548. Is it permissible to collect rare gold coins?
If you are a philanthropist and if you have got shock in doing that, then it is permissible. And these days those have got monetary values. So do that, having in mind monetary value so that you can cash it up some time on a so-called rainy day. But if you are going to make it a hobby and a sheer mere hobby to waste time, remember the rule, do not do such an activity that has got no benefit in this world or the cover of the akhirat. So if you will do it just as a mere sheer hobby having no benefit, like running also previously asked, no benefit in this world or the cover of the akhirat, then suspend that activity.
JazakAllah for that, Muftisab. Let's take the next question. It says, can a person give a non-Muslim a miswak to use?
Permissible to do so.
JazakAllah for that. Let's take the next question. Please, this question just came twice, overseas question that we had. Last week you mentioned that one should read something on one's child, if stubborn. Please, can Muftisab repeat what should be read?
The child is sleeping. Generally, his child is resting at peace, and then you can place your right hand, palm on the forehead of the child, read 21 times, Ya Shahidu, Ya Shahidu, Ya Shahidu, and blow on the child with the intention, Ya Allah, make the child obedient, and make him one following the commandment of Allah Jalla Majdahu, and make him peaceful, and make him not disobedient. Inshallah, the child should become obedient. However, also, that if you do not make efforts, do not give him the amenities of disruption and disturbance and expect him to become obedient.
JazakAllah for that. We have an anonymous brother from Indonesia. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, we lost the brother. Any other callers? Okay, no, the brother can call back, inshallah. It says if I oil my hair each night, then is my wudu accepted?
Yes. I think the brother thinks that after he oils his hair, then when he gets up, obviously when he gets up, his wudu will have broken because of his sleeping, not because of applying the oil. So hypothetically speaking, if a person has got wudu, then the person oils the hair, then oiling of the hair and combing of the hair does not break, does not nullify the wuzu.
JazakAllah for that. Muftisab, my husband can't find work. Please, what can be read? Please make dua for us.
After Fajr Salah, sit and read 70 times Surah Leela fi Quraysh. Thereafter make dua. And the adab, ethics of dua is praise Allah first, then read durood, then ask what you want to ask, in this case, dua. During the day, try to perform 2 rakat, salatul hajat, salat of need. Present your case to Allah Jalla Majdahu, and inshallah, you will get a job. If you are really in dire need and desperation, then read abundantly, inni maghloobun fantasir, inni maghloobun fantasir, and then make dua to Allah that I'm helpless, hopeless, and I have got nowhere to go. You help me. Allah Jalla Majdahu inshallah will help. And we also make dua and request the listeners to make dua for the person who phoned in, that Allah grant him a good job.
JazakumAllah for that. Let's take the next question. It says, Assalamu alaikum, if you have a child out of wedlock, what is the child classified as, and what is the implication as far as inheritance is concerned?
The child should not be discarded, the child should be cared for, look after, the child would not inherit.
Is it necessary for a divorced woman to have a mahram when she intends marrying again? She has no other brothers.
She's got uncles, so the uncles become a mahram. When she's absolutely without a biological mahram, then the elderly people of the locality, he will approach in hijab so that they become her wakil, her agent in marriage. The other question that just passed by, the person, although the child does not inherit, but from his inheritance or in his estate, can leave up to one third for that child.
Jazakumullah. When you go to people who can, for example, see things, like if something isn't right for you, should we believe in it or should we rather seek guidance from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala?
Best to seek guidance from Allah Jalla Majdahu. If these people claim they can see, then they should have been the wealthiest people on earth. Ask them if they can see some lotto numbers and some other numbers. These people cannot see things. Those who say they can see things, respected elders, do not spoil your aqidah, do not spoil your iman and belief. Focus on Allah Jalla Majdahu. We are misled by too many of these people who can see in the dark.
JazakumAllah for that. Let's take the next question. Is it permissible to give a poor non-Muslim family groceries as sadaqah?
Yes, what you call sadaqah. Sadaqah, as I told you, is actually the correct Arabic, also an Arabic word for lillah. Generally, we from Indo-Pak subcontinent use the word sadaqah to mean zakat. Actually, sadaqah is a charity, voluntary charity. You can do so. Permissible to do so.
JazakumAllah for that. If one has a digital copy of the Quran on a memory stick, is it permissible to go to the toilet with it in one's bag?
Permissible, makruh.
JazakumAllah for that, Mutasab. Let's take the next question now. We have a question here that any other callers? I think, you know, we just lost this caller. Let's take the next question. It says, may one make use of the smiley in one's SMS? It says, I'm asking because of the eye issues.
The cell phone is the current modern fitna. And the cell phone, if you do not control it, will lead to sin and indirect fornication and adultery. The activities which are currently available on the cell phone are destructive to morality, modesty, dignity, honor of any good individual. So this question is just a minor thing. We should use the cell phone as an essential equipment, a dire necessary equipment. Does not mean that it can be used cheaply, it must be used frequently. This is the view of most of the ulama, that because of the activities available on the cell phone, chat, internet, and mix it, all these things are destructive. And generally there is abuse via them. So that which he has asked, definitely a person should abstain.
Jazakumullah for the Muftisab. It says, can Mawlana please repeat what to read when seeking for a job? Something we heard very clearly.
Said that after Fajr Salat, to read 70 times Surah Leela fi Quraysh, then make dua. Not forgetting the ethics of dua, the mannerism of dua. Praising Allah, then read Durood, then ask for your needs. Also, that during the day, make 2 rakats of Salatul Hajat, Salat of need, of necessity, and plead to Allah. If really in dire necessity, then read Inni Maghloobun Fantasir, and make dua stating your helpless condition and your dire need. Inshallah, Allah will aid.
Jazakumullah for the Muftisab. It says, I want, okay. Person says, I want to know what to do with all the Al-Qalams, Al-Rashid, and Muslim views. Must they bury it, or what must they do?
Bury it.
Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. If a woman is Musafir and she takes a ghusl after Hayd whilst on journey, is it necessary for her to read a full salah for the rest of the journey, or not that of a Musafir?
Full salah she will perform.
Just to remind listeners, lines are open, 854-1548. If a husband is not so Islamically learned and inclined and gives a wife a talaq often, but almost immediately apologizes and both make up for the sake of their house and kids, there's no witnesses, what happens?
The talaq falls. The talaq occurs. Ignorance is no valid shari excuses. For talaq to occur, no witnesses are required. Contrary to nikah, there is a tape, there is a CD of mine available in Radio Islam. We have discussed in a Jummah bayan, which was in Kempton Park, the details and the laws of talaq, wherein I have explained clearly, for the validity of talaq, no witnesses are required. So if a person is sitting in a room alone, Allah is watching, and he verbally divorces his wife, no human is present, the talaq is valid. So this person cannot say because I am ignorant, or cannot say because of the wife, or cannot say because of the wife and the children, or cannot say because of the children, we are going to make up. Once he has issued 3 talaqs, then she is no more in his wedlock. She is haram for him to touch. She is a stranger unto him.
JazakAllah for the Mufti Sahib. Let's take the next question. It says, if you go to a person that says they have a gift, is it right for them to take names in the family, because sometimes jinn can give wrong information?
The person who says during the discussions of diagnosis of that nature, and he stipulates, or she stipulates names, then that person is ill-mannered. And that person is ignorant, because as a result, families are going to be destroyed. And the information, such information, is minal zaniyat, conjecture, speculation, not definite, uncertain, not concrete, not finite. So how can that person accuse in the court of law, in an Islamic court of law, that will be equated to slander and liable for Islamic punishment. Mawlana, are you looking at the time?
Gee, I'm looking at the time. It's a little, we have one, two questions that maybe you can... Okay. It says a sister wants to change her name from Persian to Arabic. Is it advisable?
Yes, it is advisable to do so.
Also, the sister wants to go into Parda. How does she tell her husband and family?
Explain to her husband that which is valuable needs to be concealed. That which is precious needs to be hidden. That which is valuable, his money, jewels, etc., does not let everybody see, touch, hold, feel, look at. So, she is his valuable property. Therefore, she wants to be concealed except for him. And then, explain to him the laws of hijab. Inshallah, he will approve.
Jazakumullah salam. Husband and wife are married. Husband has bad habits, found in other women. Can the wife say that she wants nothing to do with him in any way at all until he reforms?
If he does that, he will go worse. And he will regard that as an open license to further activate and perpetuate his nefarious activities. So she should not adopt that rule. She should approach the elders, father, mother from both sides, to talk to him. The witnesses of the wedding, to talk to him. And somehow the other get information to the imam of the masjid where he attends, to talk to him, to leave this heinous, evil sin which brings the wrath and displeasure of Allah.
JazakAllah for the Muqtasab. One last question. It says a girl is getting married and going on honeymoon. Can she use contraceptives for that period only?
Why is she going on honeymoon? As part of Sharia. This concept is not our concept. And then to do that activity, that is also un-Islamic. Yeah.
Okay, that's our last question. What's up? Some nasiha from your side.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'd just like to highlight, although it's quite late, 2 points. That generally I have noticed that when we either attend nikahs or perform nikahs, then all parties want us to speak and to give some lecture or to give some bayan and some advices. It was done, and now it is becoming a norm and a pattern, and people think that this is part of Sharia, and people are now getting the impression that a nikah, there has to be a bayan with it. A nikah, there has to be a lecture with it. And a nikah is not complete without a bayan or a lecture. And people are now getting the impression that the nikah validity also depends on the lecture. So an effort should be made that nikah should be performed without these lectures, so that the people know that nikah is nikah, the lecture is separate. If due to some circumstances, etc., some bayan lecture is given, then it is permissible. However, to regard it as part of deen and sharia, that to do it is going to become an innovation sooner or later. That's one point, which needs elaboration also. Secondly, that generally, if you have to go for a nikah reception or a walima invitation, there too, in the hall, which generally is not a place for giving speeches and lectures and bayans and advices, the mic systems, etc., are set up. And prior to the eating of the food, it has become now norm in walimas, etc., that the maulana will speak. And then before he speaks, there will be a qiraat. But now, followed by a nizam, then vote of thanks, before that welcome, official MC, and then in certain areas, in certain parts of the country, one person will stand up and praise the qualities of the bride. another person will stand up and praise the qualities of the bridegroom and literally wash their linen in public. All these activities are not proven in Sharia. We are making this deen very difficult for ourselves. Instead of just coming, the occasion is to eat and go and make dua for the person, individually, not even collectively. We are turning this into a so-called pious activity by having these qiraat and nazams and speeches, etc. As I stated, this is not the occasion, and this is becoming regarded as part and parcel of the walima and nikah celebrations or nikah receptions. And people think this is very deeny activity. This is has got no shari substantiation. May Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding of this easy deen and grant us ability to practice upon the simple deen.
Jazakumullah khair, Mufti Sahab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you in your knowledge, inshaAllah.